This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Limits, I know you're depressed today, and I'm very sad to see that. It's written all over your face. You had a lot of big plans for the Baldwin basketball team, and they didn't come to fruition, and I'm sorry for that.
I appreciate your text last night and you saying that this morning, yes.
Well, tell us a little more, for God's sake.
Well, I don't
How
have
are
much
you feeling?
To say.
What happened? We got to deal with the wins and the losses here. You were all pumped to announce the Baldwin game last night, a big playoff game.
Yep.
And Penn Trafford, the one-time home of Pekka Arsic, beat them.
Yeah, congrats to Doug Kelly and that squad. I mean, they put together an absolutely flawless game plan of how to attack Baldwin, and they did a really good job of being aggressive to the basket, forcing our bigs into early foul trouble. Both of our two players that, you know, command the low post had two fouls in the first quarter. That completely changed the game. Baldwin's a team that likes to play quick. I mean, we're a fast team that just likes to be up-tempo. We couldn't press well. They really struggled just moving the ball consistently and finding a consistent offense. 0 of 7 at halftime from 3. I think it ended up being like 3 of 18 or something. It was just an all-out disaster in the type of game that they put together. And it was the worst game that they'd played all year. And, of course, they did it in the wrong moment at home as a number 2 seed. So it just sucks.
Like
I feel like
Steelers,
you after
Ravens.
The Bills game. I feel like you after the Bills game.
Sounds like the Steelers-Ravens playoff game to me, and I'm sorry for your loss. My condolences. We have a six-pack to get to. Bob will be here tomorrow. He is returning from, well, a pretty nice place. He's out on the West Coast playing golf. Have you seen videos of Bob's trip?
I have.
Looks like he's having a wonderful time, doesn't
he? He is, and some great views from his trip as well.
He shot in the low 90s, the high 80s, which is pretty good for those courses. I think Pebble Beach, he's playing there. They have, I think, 4 courses around there. And that's not too shabby. And I'm very happy for Bob at this point. So we'll see Bob tomorrow. And in the meantime, we forge ahead with all kinds of stories here. I don't even know where to begin. I couldn't decide this morning, but then I remembered it's a great day for a six-pack. Limits? Do you have a six-pack handy? Especially, there we go.
I might need an
8-pack. Especially a cold
today.
One? All right, let's start with Tom Pelissero reporting that T. Higgins, the Bengals, are likely to franchise him, but really, more importantly, looking at a long-term contract here, and that raises the question, are they just going to bring everybody back here? Like, do they have to? They're prioritizing that, is Pelissero's story. So what does that mean for Trey Hendrickson? What does that mean for the rest of the team moving forward? I think it means good things. I think it sounds like Joe Burrow is willing to do whatever it takes to get these people, to get them to stay in the building. They could use a second franchise tag on T. Higgins if needed. I don't know, man. I'd certainly rather be the Bengals than the Steelers right now, wouldn't you? They have a quarterback.
Yeah, pretty easily, because they have a top three quarterback in the NFL. And once you have that, I mean, you can just build around them. So they got to figure out the finances, but they got to keep that core intact if possible.
Let's not forget that the Steelers only finished one game ahead of the Bengals last year. So if you're looking at one game that got the Steelers in and kept the Bengals out, it was the legendary game in Cincinnati when Russell Wilson audibled them to a win.
Yeah, pumping his fist to 42 points.
Or so we're led to believe. That was the game, when you look back on it, that swung both teams' seasons. Who would have thunk it? There's this idea that the Steelers, you know, it was a really good season for some people, and that the Bengals were this horrific joke. They were separated by one game limits.
Yeah, we thought that that was going to be the nail in the coffin for Cincinnati, especially where they were at that point in the season, needing to basically win out and get a lot of help. That game convinced me that the Steelers' offense, though, Joe, was going to be like, all right, like they have a chance to put up points against the Ravens late in the season on the road and have a good chance against Kansas City, and man, was it fool's gold.
All right, next, there's an interesting one. Headline from the Washington Post. MLB's latest push for a salary cap is getting closer. The posturing starts now. This comes on a day yesterday when Rob Manfred talked about the LA Dodgers and basically said, hey, they're not doing anything wrong. They're going to be spending nearly $400 million on players, by the way. And the salary for Ohtani, although he's deferring $68 million of this, his salary is practically bigger than the Pirates' overall payroll. But Manfred said, listen, they're doing everything by the rules, and I think it's great for baseball, he said, what the Dodgers are doing. I don't think it's so great for baseball, but I would ask you, Limits, and I asked this in a Post-Gazette column I wrote this morning, which is more repulsive to you, the Dodgers' $386 million payroll or thereabouts, or the Pirates' $71 million payroll or thereabouts? I'll tell you what I choose, B, all day long. I think that the Pirates are doing more to hurt Major League Baseball than the Dodgers. Try to win within your means. And they're not trying to do that, unfortunately. Noah Hyles actually tells me that the Pirates' payroll is up around $83 million. But according to his sources, that's still down from last year. And that's my problem. We were told 4 years ago by Ben Cherington that payroll is going to go up as we get a chance to win. And it has gone up incrementally here over the last 4 years. But now that they're finally seemingly at the precipice with Paul Skenes, this is the year they retreat on payroll? What's the bigger problem here, the Pirates or the Dodgers?
I think it's a closer question than a lot of people would believe. But I do side with you that, I mean, the Pirates at about $71 million. I mean, 10 years ago at this time.
Let's call it 83. Let's call it 83 even for Hyles.
Regardless.
Regardless.
10 years ago, they were over 100 or right at that precipice. And I know that they were, you know, 98.
They've never been over 100.
Yeah, they were.
No, they weren't. Not
according to the number. That 98 season? Or that season in 2015?
They were around 97, 98. My records tell me they've never been above $100 million. Regardless, continue with your point.
Yeah, regardless. For that to be the case, and then for to drop down by like $10 million or so, when obviously the financial status of every sport and every cap and whatever cap league you're in continually goes up, I mean, they are not trending upwards with the mean. You know, Art Rooney likes the mean. The Pirates are not being around the mean in terms of average money that's being spent as more and more teams spend.
Next. We're going to get back to that, I might add, because I'm sure what Manfred said has some people burning. For me, what would have me burning is, you know, if I were a fan and Ben Cherington said way back in 2020 in a story by Jason Mackey at the Post-Gazette is, hey, as we get better, we're going to build that payroll. Well, how do you explain that this year of all years, they apparently, pending moves during spring training, are gonna go back down on payroll? How do you possibly explain that, Limits? How is that even possible?
I don't think it really is. I mean, at least it shouldn't be. Like, why should that be a reasonable expectation where It's partly.
And if they're not, by the way, if this isn't the time, like Charrington said back then in 2020, we'll know when we're there. You know, we'll know when we get there, and that's when you'll see it pop up, that payroll. Are we there yet? And if we're not here now, with a very limited Paul Skeens window, when will we ever be there?
And that's the thing. There should be a reasonable expectation that with the rotation as it is, and with Andrew McCutchen maybe in his final year, and you know them bringing him back for three consecutive years now, that this would be like the year. This would be the year to, I don't know about all in, if that's the correct word, but at least to go almost all in, to go in at least.
How about in as much as the Brewers? Again, there's this idea. Crack another one, would you please? Now I'm getting warmed up here. I'm getting lubricated,
kindly,
if you will. That didn't sound right.
No.
There's this idea that, you know, even Andrew McCutchen said it back at Pirate Fest. Well, we'll never be the Dodgers or Yankees. We know. We know you're not going to be the Dodgers or Yankees or Mets. There's a wide gulf between them and, say, the Milwaukee Brewers, who win your division every year, four out of the last seven. They push past 100 million, and they're in a market smaller than Pittsburgh. Smaller. Forget about the Dodgers. Compete in your division. Win your division. The Pirates were in last place in their division, and they're in last place in payroll in their division. Come on! Let's go here! But it looks like their team is on the floor, as the great Norman Dale said, right? Limits? What happened? Where'd you go? What are you doing?
Sorry, I was looking for this.
Where are you going?
In the game.
Sit down.
What do you mean? You gotta have five out there.
Sit down. Sit.
Coach, need one more. My team is on the floor.
My team is on the floor.
I like that a lot. Maybe they should go with five. You had the best idea yesterday, given that seven of the nine players in the starting lineup are utility men. Maybe the Pirates should be a volleyball team and rotate every inning. Just have everybody move. You start, May. Let's say Endy starts at catcher one day. Shelty yells out, rotate from the dugout. He moves to first. Let's say Adam Frazier moves from first to second. I'm sure he can play first too. Why the hell not? Nick Gonzalez goes from second to short. Connor Falefa from short to third. And then the outfields all switch positions, since you have a right fielder who's actually a left fielder who's played right field, and a center fielder who's usually a shortstop.
So who goes to catcher then? Does Brian Reynolds go from right field to catcher?
They have 18 catchers. You could have Henry Davis play catcher, first, right field, and who knows where else. Endy could play catcher, right field, center field, left field, second base, first base.
So the whistle blows, and they go, beep, yeah. Substitution. Yeah. Jason DeLay is into the game.
No whistle. Shelty just yells, rotate.
He's like the libero and comes in from the back row.
He wears a different colored shirt, yes, and yells, rotate. Oh, my God. Next, I don't even remember where I was going with the Pirates there. I had another salient point that I'm now forgetting. The Steelers. There's a radio host in, I believe, Denver, if I'm not mistaken. And his name is Benjamin Albright. He says on the Big Doug and Carmi show that the Steelers are looking to add a receiver, not subtract one, and he can picture Cortland Sutton here with George Pickens. Are you believing that? Would you like that, Limits?
I would. And what I don't understand is Denver's, and this is something that Nick Faribault, Penn Live, who we've had on before, also has said to me before, like, Denver is willing to move off of Cortland Sutton, and I don't understand that. And it seems like it's just from like a salary perspective, because he wants a new contract and he's getting older. You would think that they'd want to keep him with Bo Nix. I mean, he was the number one receiver for them. Good chemistry with Nix. Young quarterback. Like, why would you trade his veteran weapon? I don't know. But it seems like from a lot of reports out of Denver, they're completely fine with it for the right price.
Next. Charlie McAvoy is out for the big, I don't even know what you call it. It's not a gold medal game. The championship of the Four Nations tournament. And that means that Quinn Hughes has been called up, called in, so to speak. But here's the problem. And we all know that Quinn Hughes is pretty good. He's the reigning Norris Trophy winner. He can't play unless another Team USA player suffers an injury. That's per tournament rules here. So if you're them, somebody's getting injured or sick before tomorrow's game, correct? The question is who? I guess anybody.
Somebody's going to limp off the ice with apparent back spasms or a low body injury.
Right. Or there'll be that little, you know, we used to have that fake vomit thing with the little rubber thing that you put on the ground.
Yes.
That'll be in front of somebody's locker. How much are you willing to bet that Quinn Hughes will find his way into that lineup by hook or by crook? I'd bet a lot of money.
I would honestly say it's probably like a 50-50 proposition.
What?
Because I don't feel like any of the guys that are already there and have gotten Team USA there, are they just going to, you know, take a bullet for the squad and say,
yes,
actually, I won't play?
Yes, they are. Are you kidding me?
Who's that going to be?
I don't know. Pick a guy.
Is Mike Sullivan just going to go to one of the guys on the fourth line and say,
or one of his defensemen?
Or one of his defensemen,
and they are going to take one for the team. Absolutely. Gee, you look green today. You look sick. You know what? We're going to keep you out for the Norris Trophy winner tomorrow. I would bet a ton of money that that guy will be in the game.
I actually won't. Like, why wasn't he on the team just to begin with?
He was hurt.
Why wouldn't they just put him on it? And
I don't know limits. I don't have a list of the rules in front of me here. They probably thought he was out for the tournament. But now, obviously, it's a time of need for them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a 50-50 proposition for me, like I said. Because I don't see anybody just basically saying, you know, going through this whole entire tournament that they're just not going to suit up and, you know, take one for the team in that regard because of what this tournament means to them against Canada specifically.
What?
What I said is, I don't see a defenseman like opting out of this in favor of Quinn Hughes.
I don't know that it's going to be a choice. There's going to be a conversation behind. Plus, they already have guys, by the way, who are banged up. They already have a couple. I think one of them's Tkachuk. You're not going to see one of the Tkachuks. You're not going to see that. But you might just see somebody else come up lame. I mean, let's be real here. It's maybe the best defenseman in the sport. And the other guys have Cale Makar back, which he didn't play in the first game, right?
Right. So it might be best on best if you can get in that type of situation.
Yes, it could be. Next. All right, Limits. I read a piece in the Associated Press about the Four Nations, and we're all looking forward to the game tomorrow night. But as I mentioned yesterday, as much as I'm looking forward to it, and I will be riveted. I want to make that clear. I'll be riveted to it. This line from the AP story is a bit much, and this is what I was referring to yesterday. The quality of play, I'm quoting here, the quality of play, intensity of emotions, and geopolitical backdrop have drawn comparisons to the Americans' miracle on ice victory over the Soviet Union at the 1980 Lake Placid Olympics. Hold on a second here, please. Okay, AP, or anybody else who's thinking this, the miracle on ice might be the singular event in the history of American sports. I'm not talking like international sports involving American teams. I'm talking American sports, period, of all time. Sports Illustrated named it the greatest sports moment of the 20th century. I mean, it was slightly different. You had a team of amateurs training for a full year to get ready to play the Soviets. I don't need to tell you that Russia's not even in this tournament, and they might be the favorite if they were, or certainly nobody would be surprised if they won. This is a team that was thrown together, all these teams, in a week for a manufactured tournament with four available countries. Be serious here. Stop saying things like that. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
I agree. It's taken too far out of context. Like, I like that we've heightened the matchup. I like that we've heightened like what it represents, but it doesn't compare to the miracle on ice. I mean, come on.
I mean, he's not saying, whoever wrote this story, that a victory would compare to the magnitude of that victory. I understand that. But even all the emotions, the quality of play, as he says, the geopolitical backdrop, none of that is comparable either. It's very different. But also, and maybe even mainly, the nature of the tournament itself. It's all pros. It's all stars. And it's teams that were just, again, thrown together, and they're going to have one game on one night here in Boston. So please, and having said that, both things can be true. This is some of the best hockey I've seen in recent memory, and I can't wait. Both of those things can be true. I don't know. The last time I looked forward to any hockey game with this sort of anticipation was Game 7 against the Rangers in that series a few years back. But please, let's leave the miracle on ice out of it, okay?
The miracle on ice is like one of those Mount Rushmore types of sporting events where you just kind of place it up there and don't compare it to anything.
Right. Next, Brandon Hagel for Canada took a shot here at the American team saying, and he's obviously a Canadian forward, saying, I think we're out there playing for the flag, not the cameras. That's a part of Canada that we have in there. We don't need to initiate anything. We don't have any group chats going on. We're going out there playing our game and then giving it everything and doing it for our country. Okay. He's referring to this idea, I believe reported by Pierre LeBrun, if I'm not mistaken, that the Kachucks and maybe another player or two had a group chat in the morning of that game last Saturday that they were going to do what they did, which was fight at the beginning of the game.
Oh, they said it publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Kachucks confirmed it. Like, yeah, there was a discussion.
Right, they confirmed it to LeBrun, I believe. Yeah.
So what's your question?
My question is, I wanted to clarify that first, but is that a legitimate shot? And does that lessen the effect of the fights, that it was premeditated instead of spur of the moment, or not for you?
No, I don't think it lessens it at all, because it's also, you have to have intent too. Like, you have to follow through with it. You can have the thought process that, well, this is what we want to do, this is what we're going to do, but you still have to put it into action. You know, actions speak louder than words. You can talk a big game about anything and then not follow through with it. So no, it doesn't diminish it at all for me.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And for a while there, I was like, what do you need fights for? And my reasoning was, look at the Olympics. Those are the best games on earth. They don't need fighting. But hockey has become so softened over the years that this was just welcome, and people love it. I don't know that you're going to see anything like that tomorrow, because much like a Game 7 or a gold medal game, nobody wants to put themselves at a disadvantage, either through taking an extra penalty, through missing an important player for 5 minutes, or through somebody possibly getting hurt in a fight. It just doesn't happen. So I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but it is interesting that Hagel laid down the gauntlet a little bit, or at least ripped the Americans. Next. Do you think Pittsburgh is at all divided over rooting for Sid and rooting for Team USA?
I do. And when I was on Sunday, I actually posed the question. And
how did that go?
A bunch of people said that they feel that they would like to root for Sidney Crosby just because of what he's represented and what he's meant to the Penguins and the personal connection that they have with him. Now,
yeah,
others were more so saying USA, you know, just ride or die with the country regardless.
What was the general consensus? If you put out a – can you put out a Twitter poll?
Yeah.
Limits? Put out a Twitter poll and ask people, are you rooting for Sidney Crosby or the Americans on Thursday? I'd be very curious.
I think we're going to get around 60-40 in favor of Team USA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be closer than a lot of people think.
Rooting for Sully and Team USA. Yeah, I don't blame him. Do you find the Kachucks particularly likable, rootable? I think some people very much so. They're very polarizing.
Yeah.
You love them or you hate them.
I like them. I mean, they're passionate. They're physical. They don't care about what other people think about them. And, I mean, I'm sure it's a completely different sentiment in Canada. I'm sure Canadians cannot stand them right now.
Let's put it this way. If both of them were Penguins, we would all love it. Because the Penguins over the years have become, as I call them, Team Polite. If the Lady Bing were a team award, the Penguins would be the 10-time defending champion. They don't even defend Crosby. I mean, it's embarrassing a lot of the time. And forget about what I say. Listen to people like Jake Caulfield and Bob Arey and what they've said over the years about the Penguins being just that. Team polite is what they are.
And it's just like if Tom Wilson...
I wouldn't be surprised if the Penguins sent thank you notes to the teams that beat the hell out of them. That's how polite they are. So yes, the Tkachuk brothers would be quite welcome in these parts.
Thank you, opposing teams.
They're really good, too. That helps.
Yeah, and it's just like if Tom Wilson was on the Penguins, or if, like, remember when Ryan Reeves was on the Penguins and he was, like, the enforcer for the one
year?
Yeah,
but no. They all turn into penguinis when they get here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they lose this idea that I'm the enforcer. They get sucked into the culture here, which is we're going to outskill people, and you don't have to be that here. You can actually try to play hockey. Of course, Sully never played him anyway, so he had no role here.
Who was the last, like, straight?
George LaRocque, the same thing.
Who was the straight last, like, straight enforcer? Matt Cook?
I mean, probably Reeves, for sure. Yeah. But I'm saying he really didn't enact that role here. Although we all know for a fact that whether he was or wasn't enacting that role, that it gives Sid a sense of comfort to have a guy like that around.
The Reeves trade, I think, is also one just because of how they failed to utilize him and they gave up a first-round pick that kind of started this downfall, too, which I know is completely off-topic, but...
No, it's part of the topic limits, and I admire you for saying it. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, we got all kinds of things happening. Jay Caulfield, perfect at 11 o'clock today. The big boy, Mark Cabali, at 12:30.
Yes, the big boy will join. He made some headlines
again
over the weekend as well.
What did he do?
I was talking to Mark about how the Steelers don't throw over the middle of the field, and is that like a Mike? How much of a Mike Tomlin thing is that?
Yeah.
And they ran with it on a lot of different sites.
And also, Mark has been pushing the idea that Art is a Russell Wilson guy, and might that push Russell Wilson back to Pittsburgh? So there's a lot to talk about with him. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Give me another item. This is an in-house item here, Limits. The Andrew Filippone, Mike DeFabo.
Ah, yes.
Potential media feud. My sources, ironically, since this is all about sources and whether they're accurate or not, my sources tell me this has been smoothed over.
Whoa, really?
How about that?
Now we have a pony response to DeFabo as well.
Well, from yesterday's show.
Yes.
Yes.
You would like to hear that.
I heard it. And it was basically Pony saying, this guy is throwing stones from glass houses. He was reporting that the Steelers didn't want Russell Wilson back last year. And then this was all in response to DeFabo shredding Pony on the show yesterday, saying basically, I'd never believe it when he reports something. It got real ugly for a minute there, didn't it, Limits? I was scared. Were you?
I was a little terrified. I was worried that it was going to get even darker.
I was afraid we'd have a Richard Huntley situation in the clubhouse here where there could be fisticuffs.
And it seems like, you know, Pony could have went, I think, harder at Mike, but decided not to. He kind of backed off. I mean, he obviously delivered like a shot.
But how much could he have backed off?
Well, no, I feel like Pony could have went harder. Could have went harder in the argument on him.
I'm not so sure about that. I think DeFabo opened up with, this was like Hearns Hagler.
Pony did it in a pretty respectful way, is the way I mean to say it.
There was not a lot of moving and jabbing. There were haymakers from the start. DeFabo came on here yesterday and threw haymakers, and Pony responded like George Foreman in the early rounds in Manila. I mean, he went with haymakers. When you're dragging out, and I think this was fair game, when you're dragging out an erroneous report on Russell Wilson, then you're starting with a haymaker. You're not starting with a jab. So bottom line is, and this is from a primary source, I might add, the two of these combatants spoke last night, and at least from one side of the story, things have been smoothed over. Are you happy to hear that?
I am happy to hear that. That's good. I never like to hear about feuds too often unless they bring big headlines.
Yeah, they did, and I love them. I love media feuds, and I want to see more of them. If you could pick a media feud, who would your combatants be? I'd like to see Cabali and Mueller in one. You?
I'd like to see Cabali and Doran in a feud.
How about Crowley and Benz? I think they're actually good friends, but I think that would make for a hell of a feud.
What about the return of Joe Starkey and Ron in a little mini feud?
That would be pretty good.
How about that?
For the 15th anniversary?
Yes.
If we got in a feud again? I mean, that was sort of a daily occurrence. I like the social media ones that arise out of nowhere. There was one lately. Was it Dayon with who? Now I can't think of what report was it?
I think it was with Jesse Marshall.
There was that?
Yeah.
Oh, and then there was another one, Aditi and Dulac, where it wasn't even really them sniping at each other, although it sort of was. It was Aditi going after Dulac. Dulac then on his chat, when someone mentioned that, said, "Who's that?" when he clearly knows who she is. That was a quality brief feud, was it not?
It was, with Pony as the moderator for that too, basically saying like, wait, Aditi, what did you just say there?
I can't. What do you mean you don't like to see these? I love to see these and I like to stir them, and I tried to stoke the one yesterday.
Yeah, as long as I'm not a part of it, I think I'm okay with it.
I've been in a media feud with Pony before.
What was that about?
Many different things at times. It wasn't actually good natured. No. But everything's cool now.
Yeah, you have no ill will towards him for anything.
No, I like Pony, of course, and I like Mike.
I think Pony gets mad when we bring up the goal line. Anything that might be on the goal line, how close is
Pony
it to
Pony brings
it?
Up a lot of things, too.
Yes, he does.
So, about you and me.
So I'm a frequent topic on their show sometimes.
Yeah, so what are you talking about here? Are you trying to whip up a media feud right now?
Not
out
at
of
all.
Nowhere?
Not at all. It's all good fun and games, but I will mention that The first person that I got, literally as soon as the buzzer sounded on last night's game, Andrew Filippone, what the heck happened? Multiple question marks.
I like that.
And I don't think it wasn't meant as like taking a jab at me. I think it was a genuine concern, like, dude, what happened?
How about a nice guy media feud? I think that would really raise the roof. How about Donnie Football and Jerry DePaula?
DePaula and Jeff Hathorn.
Suddenly get into this like vicious, nasty online feud would be tremendous. Social media feud, I should say. Donnie Football and Jerry DePaula. Can you imagine?
I don't even know what they would be feuding about.
That's the thing.
Like, Jerry is just such a kind man. What can you be mad at Jerry for? And I'm sure Jerry's been mad before. And
the only time I've ever seen Jerry mad was over at the Steelers, when I used to tease him a little bit. When a story would break from the other side, from the Post-Gazette, we were at the Trib. I would say, you should have known that, Jerry. You're the beat writer. That's where that saying came from.
Oh.
And then one day I said that to him, and then I also wheeled his chair while he was in it around the Steelers media headquarters.
What did he think of that? Why did he just get up?
And he snapped. Jerry snapped, and he'll remember that. It might have been the only time in his life he's shown anger. I have a way of angering even the nice ones.
Why were you? Yes, because I've definitely had my chair wheeled around this building before by you. Why is that a common habit that you have? Why?
It's just playful and fun. But on a day when you get beat for a story, and I'm also saying you should have had that, you're the beat writer, it all sort of exploded.
I think it might be just not what you said, but the way the way you made him feel.
I was a primary participant in the most legendary media feud that maybe there's been in the last 30 years anyway in Pittsburgh sports. That was myself and Dave Molinari from then the Post-Gazette. I was with the Trib. And I came on to the Penguins beat in 97, the Savvy Young News Hound.
Mm.
And he was the old guard, and it was nice at first. We were talking from time to time. And then all of a sudden, the Cold War began, and it was unbelievable. And if there were social media at the time, you would have had people taking pictures. One time I went to Nassau Coliseum. Listen to this story, Limits. I went to Nassau Coliseum, and he had requested ahead of time that he not sit near me. Usually at an opposing rink, you know, the beat writers from the same city are sitting next to each other or one seat over or whatever.
Right.
They put me on the other side of Nassau Coliseum by myself.
You were just sitting there by yourself?
Yeah. So a picture would have appeared from somebody else, and that would have been on social media. And I exploded that night on their PR guy and everybody else. and then there would be situations we had the same travel agent. We would be on the same flights sitting with our knees touching right next to each other with not a word spoken from the time we saw each other to the time we got to the next city. It was unbelievable.
Jeez, this was really personal.
Yeah, it was the greatest media feud maybe in Pittsburgh sports history, but I don't go back past when I got here in the early 90s.
So what changed?
Nothing. What do you mean what changed?
It's a continuing feud right now?
I haven't seen it, but no, when I went to work at the Post-Gazette in 2016 and saw him at a Penguin game, I went to say, hey, we're on the same team now. I went to shake his hand, and I got the Steve Peterson cold fish hand.
Jeez. So that has never been resolved.
Never resolved.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to get to George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. Pitt with a big win last night. Every win is big for them. And man, did that look ugly at the start. Wow. But they came back and they're still in it. How realistic is it that they'll get to the dance? Let's talk to George about that in a minute. First, the last item from what has rapidly become an 8-pack limits, please. Thank you. Ben on his podcast, Footballin', he's referenced this before, this alleged and I would say mythical Steeler way, and how they've strayed so far from that in many ways, he thinks. But he actually gave a specific example of things that he saw late in his career that really didn't sit well, and this seemed to be up there.
There was a trend that kind of my last couple of years of playing that kind of came into the league that I can't remember when it could have been 5-6 years and as I was ending, but the trend got progressively worse, but where guys would come in at halftime and go right to their locker and grab their phones and be looking at social media, looking at things like that. And it's like, and as soon as the game was over, first thing he did is went to the locker to check things. Not everybody, but it got progressively more and more. And when I remember coming in at halftime, you know, you see the linemen are all sitting together. Like, you know, the offense and defense on opposite sides. The linemen kind of had their spots. The running backs had their spots. The tight ends, obviously positions, all had their spots within like a section of the locker room. But yet it was a spot that, you know, like the coaches, the individual coaches would go talk to their position guys. And then the OC usually would come talk, kind of like, okay, this is what we talked about. Let y'all do your talking first. Then the coach would come do it. Then the OC would talk. And then maybe Coach T would say something to the whole group. That's kind of typically how it would go. And it would drive you nuts when all the linemen would always be together. You never saw those guys on phones. But you'd see other guys, instead of being with their group, they were in their locker looking at their phone. And it's like, what do you, unless you're looking at film or looking at like a play call sheet or something like that, which you knew they weren't, but it ended up getting worse and worse. And I just think that to me, that would always drive me nuts.
Gee, I wonder who he was talking about. I just can't imagine. I'll give you 25 guesses here. That's ridiculous. Are coaches allowed? They have to be, right? It's a workplace. So they can make their own work rules. How is there not a rule that you don't touch your... After the game, I don't give a crap. You want to go to your phone after the game? Go ahead. At halftime?
That's unreal.
How is there not a rule for that?
There should be like a social media policy. Even if it's like, I don't know, 20 minutes before the game, or even like a cooling off period, 10 minutes until you're, you know, after the game, whatever. But during halftime, just... That's just flabbergasting to me.
I'm having them drop their phones in a bucket on the way into the stadium. It's a blanking game day. Are you kidding me?
Like they're walking into a classroom and you have to put your phone in like the pouch at the front of the class?
Absolutely. Or a ride at Kennywood. Here, put your phone in the pouch. I'm not kidding. I mean, that actually sickens me.
Well,
that guys would do that at halftime.
And the crazy thing about that proposition is, I mean, we're talking about professionals. You know,
allegedly,
we're not talking about like high school students or grade school kids or anything like that. Like,
I mean, that is just ridiculous. So on that front, I'm with Ben there, and I don't think that's old men yelling at clouds at all. It's a work day. You work your whole life to play. I don't know. You might get 100 of them in your career. A lot of guys might get 10 of them. A lot of guys might only get 50. You work 365 days for 17 game days, and you can't put your damn phone away until after the game? That's a joke. All right. What were you going to say?
What I was going to say, sorry, is that it's kind of sad, and it's just reminiscent of, at least for me, like what people my age and my generation, it's kind of like, because it seems like you're so... I don't know what the correct word is, but so drawn to like your phone and the outside like noise,
right?
Because it's kind of all you know. Like Ben didn't grow up with social media with everything that came with it as well.
Yeah, well, they need to just have a rule and need to be taught. Like we've reached the point in my house. Well, I'll be one room over from my daughter, and the best way to communicate is by text. Like I can see her, but nights she doesn't want to be spoken to. It's just like, all right, hey, what time are we leaving tomorrow? I'll text her that from the next room. Okay, I guess that's part of it these days. But if I ever saw her pull out her phone in the middle of a volleyball match or something like that, I would take her home.
Like Rodolfo Castro's phone falling out of his pocket, sliding into yes. third base.
Hey, listen, it's one thing to have your phone on you. It's another to be on it. You know, like that was ridiculous. But it wasn't like he was dialing somebody up on second base, calling Andrew Destin to break a story to Destiny's Child.
I'll be old man yelling at Cloud for a second here, Joe, before we get to George. People that insist on we have to text to talk instead of like face-to-face conversations or anything like that, or a FaceTime would work better. No. And I mean, maybe I sound like
I don't have kids yet.
Maybe I sound like I'm older.
But I know.
I would much rather have conversations with people face-to-face,
so
in person, it means something.
But at some point, you realize that maybe the best way to get through to this person is by if it were up to me, I should have not given her a phone till she was 16. Well, she is 16, which would have been horrifying because everyone else had one. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good to wait till she was like, was it 11 or 12? I thought that was pretty late these days.
I received my first phone at 15, or when I was in the fifth grade. Because, you know, you're going to middle school, your parents want to make sure everything's good getting off the bus.
Right.
I had a slide-out phone with a text keyboard on it before, like, the iPhone was, like, a prevalent thing.
Yeah. Well, these are the times we live in limits, but it shouldn't be happening at halftime. George Michalowski, Pittsburgh Sports Now. Hello, George. I start with the same question every week. Is Pitt going to make the NCAA tournament?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on. I do not think they're going to make the NCAA tournament. I think they have 5 games left. They have to, if they want a slim chance, they're going to have to win out, which means win at Louisville, who's lost once in 2 months. If they don't win that game, they'll be 1-9 in quad one games. I don't think that's going to get you in the tournament.
So they, well, obviously the other way to win it is to win the ACC tournament, correct?
Right, correct.
Well, that doesn't bode well, limits, does it? Do you have a question for George?
No, and my main question for you, George, and it's something that Jerry DePaola of the Trib poised earlier this week, too, is just the lack of size for the Panthers. I know they were able to break this going on a 2-game winning streak. I feel like that's been a huge common denominator, George, as to why they haven't been able to put together consistent success, just a lack of size and physicality down low.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they've gotten bullied in some of these losses, and I don't think it's the main issue with the team. I would say that, and I've said this throughout the year, that a lack of a real volume three-point threat is really plaguing them. But now you saw last night, Ish Leggett, Zach Austin each had 3 threes. I think they're figuring out how to move the ball better around the perimeter. But yeah, I agree with you. They don't really have a dominant inside force. I do think Cam Corin has been a lot better at times throughout this year than people like to say, at least online, but I would agree with that. I mean, the last game against Syracuse, that first game, they won, so I'm not going to critique it too much, but Eddie Lampkin had 23 rebounds. I mean, that wasn't happening regardless of the big to any of the old Pitt teams of 15, 20 years ago. So I think the size is definitely something that the physicality is something that they've been trying to improve upon. I think it is something you can improve on. With gang rebounding, they call it. Zach Austin had 4 last night. I saw Ish had 7. So they've got to get around it. I think it's possible. I think with this group, I thought it was possible all year and likely that they would make the tournament with this group of personnel. But they went on that ice-cold streak, and they're not getting the job done.
Lastly, George, and you can read George's stuff at Pittsburgh Sports Now, does a great job covering Pitt hoops. Are you saying if they do win out, and let's be honest, I mean, Louisville would be an upset, but to win the other games wouldn't exactly be the miracle on ice. I mean, it's possible this could happen. If they do win out in the regular season, are they a cinch to make the tournament or no?
No, I think I still think they're going to be a bubble team at that point. I think you go 21-10, 12-8 in the ACC. I mean, if you told me that before the season, I'd say, all right, that's probably a bubble team. I thought this team would lose single-digit games. I think it's going to come down to winning that game against Louisville, getting the job done against these other 4 teams, which is no easy task, and then winning a couple games in the tournament. I still think in the ACC tournament, I still think they're a bubble team. Now, before I leave, guys, I do want to call out the team that I believe has a better shot at winning their conference tournament, and that's Robert Morris.
Yes, sir. How about
Robert
them?
Robert Morris, 20-8 right now, 12-5. They might win the Horizon League tournament. They've got a really good team, and Andy Toole's done a great job. So I wanted to get them in there, too.
Well, that's a great point. Andy Toole was on with the PM guys yesterday in the midst of this Mike DeFabo, Andrew Filippone media feud. Did you hear about this, George?
I did not. Let's hear it.
I can't get into all the details. Suffice to say that they, according to one side, they've made up and everything's been smoothed over, which I'm sure you're okay. Glad to hear.
I'm glad to hear that.
Have you ever been in a media feud? Would you like to get in one? How about you and Limits in a media feud? Any interest?
Me and Limits may have been in a feud when we were booking hotels down in Greensboro a few years ago.
Yes.
But that's probably it.
You don't strike me as the kind of man who gets in many feuds. Is that true?
I would agree with that.
Very laid back. Kind of like our guy T-Bird. That's what you strike me as.
George, I think our biggest feud was with the parking attendants and not knowing where to go around D.C.
Yeah. It's never me against you. It's us against them, Austin.
Thank you, George.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
What a wonderful man he is, Limits, huh? Now Limits is talking to him.
I was
speaking
telling him
of,
goodbye. Good man.
By the way, Pitt plays at Notre Dame next game. Could you do me a favor for later in the show and find Micah Shrewsbury losing his mind? I want to play that rant.
The same Micah Shrewsbury that left Penn State basketball after winning two games in the NCAA tournament, or at least a game.
I want to hear that rant a little later if you would indulge me. It's 10:59. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. It's time for the General. You listen to this show, Pomp and Joe, every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest. Run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. General, my guess this week is the Tkachuk brothers are your cards of the week. Limits, how about you?
I fully agree. I was going to go with Matthew Tkachuk specifically.
What do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. Appreciate you having me today. We're going to go with the Tkachuk brothers, but that's going to be our secondary cards just because of value. We got something else special.
Mm.
I got a 2-for-1. Actually, it's a 4-for-1 because this card is one of the best cards we've given away in a while. It's a rookie showdown, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin. Ovi's coming into town on Saturday. Big game 7 tomorrow featuring Sid and the Tkachuk brothers. So we're giving away 4 cards this week. The big one is a Crosby-Ovechkin rookie showdown, and then we'll throw in one of each of the Tkachuk brothers also.
Holy horse milk. That's an unbelievable one. Where do you find yourself, General, going into the game tomorrow, rooting for Sid or the U.S.?
Always root for the U.S., but I could find a spot in my heart. This is how I convinced myself. It's what I did when he scored the gold medal game-winning goal.
Yeah.
If the U.S. is going to lose, it's got to be to Sid.
I have a question for you, General, unrelated to all of that, and that is, we talked a lot last year, and I think the same is true this year, I might add, that women's college basketball had become more interesting and sort of center stage than the men's game, where names were more recognizable, and now we're seeing some of the fruits of their labor here with Caitlin Clark. Here's a headline. Caitlin Clark powering 700% increase in WNBA trading card prices, leaving NBA cards in the dust. They're saying for the first time ever, WNBA cards are more valuable than NBA cards. Is that true? What do you make of these headlines?
Like everything else in life, there's some truth to that. I'm focusing on the good part. 100% Caitlin Clark changed the game. However, there is a little bit of, like, you know how when you analyze statistics and somebody went 3-for-3 and they're hitting 1,000?
Yeah.
So the context is there. Like, NBA is like a massive market, and it is on the decline a little. I don't know if with Luka changing teams, not having a great year, who's the new face of the league? And numerically, think about it. You introduced half of the world's population who wasn't really interested. Now, girls come in all the time, and I will tell you this. This is how you know how big she is. They've now integrated her into some of the men's products.
That is awesome.
Panini came out with a draft picks product recently, and they're she's on the front of the box and they commingled men and women together, which is a very intriguing thing and also tells you how big she is. It's unbelievable.
One of her cards, a Panini Select WNBA gold vinyl card, sold at auction for $235,000.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
New market.
Yeah.
To me, that's the one place where it's hard to negotiate, like how big it is when you're coming. And I don't mean this. I mean this with all respect. When you come, there wasn't a market. I was going to say you came from nothing, but there wasn't a market, and now there is. So it's harder to evaluate from no market to is a market from existing. Like, it's easier to measure the Pirates versus the Pirates,
yeah,
than if there was an expansion team.
Well,
and it's huge, however, I will tell you that.
I love it, man. And if you can find me a Caitlin Clark card, I would be much indebted to you, General. I love the Indiana Fever.
I will have a Caitlin Clark on the Ernie DiGregorio stack when you stop by in March.
I can't wait. And I'm going to the Fever's. What?
Speaking of stopping by Baseball Card Castle, there aren't many tickets left for that 15th anniversary bash. I got a few left here.
I was just going to mention that people can stop in and go up to the
counter. They better make it the next day or so.
All right. Go up to the counter at Baseball Card Castle, limited supply, and you can find some tickets to the Fanniversary, which is February 26th at Rivers Casino.
Next All Wednesday right. night.
Thank you, General. I'm going to the Fever's opener against the Chicago Sky. I don't know when it is. In May, making a road trip. I'm going to play golf and go watch my favorite team.
Nice. I'll have you, Caitlin Clark.
Thank you, sir.
You guys have a good week. Thanks.
What a man he is. Huh, Limits?
He's a great man. What a great castle that he truly does have. The castle is a good word to put it.
Is there any way you can come out there with me? Can we find somebody else to produce from back here that day? Would Donnie Football do you a favor that day?
To go to the Indiana Fever game or to go to the
Card Castle? Oh. Although I'd love it if you went to the Fever game with me.
I was hoping that's what you were inviting me to. But no, I'd like to go to the Card Castle too. Yeah, love going up there.
Yeah, why don't we?
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.